today on Real Radio.
What you want to do is make sure that when you're running with your eyes wide open, that you're deciding right here at church, right now, from this moment on, I will not waste my life anymore.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're hearing a mini-series that takes a look at chapter 10 and the first 15 verses. It's where Paul cites parts of the Old Testament as examples of how we're supposed to live our new life in Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Run, Christian, Run.
There were 400 people nationwide invited to a closed-door, sequestered type of event. 375 of them were attorneys and 25 of them were pastors. Why? Because we looked at the next 25 years of the cultural swing and movement against what you believe and how to combat a godless culture. How to rescue our young people today and the agenda of those who want to see Christianity literally outlawed. Why am I bringing this up? Because the organization that put it on, listen to me, I didn't pay for this. It was at the Ritz-Carlton in Laguna. It was insane. I pulled up, and here's my thing. I pulled up, first of all, parked out in front, there's Bentleys, Rolls Royces, Ferraris, Porsches, and a Ford truck. You know what's funny? On top of the Ford truck, I had a big name tag which clearly announced, I'm here for a conference. I'm not here for a vacation. I'm not here for pleasure. I'm here for a conference. And it says, hello, my name's Jack. And why do I bring this up to you? Because there were people getting out of their cars. It's amazing to watch. People pull up and they open their door and it's like. Like what? Like this is normal, normal. Yeah, this is normal for me. Isn't it normal for you? I got out of my car and I'm like this. Oh my gosh, this place is revealing. I can't believe I'm doing this. And I pull out my phone. I'm taking pictures of molding. Look at the baseboards. I look like an idiot. Lisa, can you see this? Look at the crown molding in this place. It was obvious it was not my normal hangout. But what's funny to me is I saw people acting like it's normal. This is normal. This is how I live. And they get kind of snooty about it. They pull up really fast. They don't drive that fast normally. They pull up. Toss the keys to the valet guy. And it's like, yeah, normal, all normal. You know why people act like that? Identity. This is me, look. You know what I'm talking about? You can take an amazing thing and make it an idol. We can take our incredible weather and make it an idol. All the things that God has given you and I, we can make it an idol. It's a dangerous thing. And we need to be careful about it. Why? Because we invest in those things, we will waste our lives. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25? He talked about those who were given what we call talents. It's not talents like you can dance and play the trombone. Talents were investments that God gave you an area of influence and the ability to do certain things. And God expects you, listen, God expects you to live your life in a way that takes what God has started with you and that you, as a good steward, invest what God has done in your life. In other words, he wants you to replicate the kingdom to other people. And Jesus said to the person that's been given this much, he, during his lifetime, invests what I gave him, and at the end, this is what he gets back out of life. And so the person's applauded by the king when he returns. And then the next guy was given something and he multiplied what his influences were. And then there was the third guy. Remember the third guy? The third guy is most of humanity. God gives him life and things and influences and abilities. And that guy says, wow, I don't want to blow any of this because there could be an end of life someday and I don't want to be a total loser. So I'm going to take it, I'm going to bury it in the ground and just wait and really exist and not do anything until death comes. I'll play it safe. When it's time to sign up for something, I won't do it because I'm going to play it safe. When it comes time to go to Haiti and reach out to those broken people or to Japan, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to play it safe. When it comes to parting with part of my $100 bill to advance the gospel of God to the ends of the earth and to China and into Russia, I'm going to play it safe. And we have all of these arguments that sound really conservative on the surface, and God has been inviting you and I to be reckless regarding eternity. And we play it safe and we bury it in the ground. And Jesus said there's going to come a time when he comes back and he's going to say, okay, concerning the things I gave you in life, do you know how to ride a bicycle really good? Good. Did you do that to my glory? Are you a surfer? Did you do it to my glory? Are you a Wall Street banker? Did you do it to my glory? Whatever you do, he's going to ask a return of it. And if you pull it up from underneath the basket and say, Lord, I knew that when you'd come back, it could be a pretty scary day. So here's my life. Well, okay, but what did you do with it? I just preserved it. I didn't take any risk. I didn't serve anybody. I didn't do anything. I just went with the flow of normalcy. And here you go. You can have it back. And Jesus said, I don't want that. Who wants that thing? And he says in the parable, I will call forth the angels and they will take this person away. Why? What does that mean? It means that they never believed and trusted in God as they ought. They wasted their life. The Bible says this. How tragic is this? Judges 16:20. Remember Samson? Samson was a normal guy. You know that? Don't you think that Samson, in pictures, you've got this huge strapping dude. Who are you? Samson! And he just knocks people over. He's got 25-inch biceps and all. He looks like the Hulk. Not so. He looked like Barney Fife, I'm sure of it. You know who Barney, anybody know who that is? Why? Well, how do you know this? Because when the power of God came upon him, nobody expected such great power to come out of him. I think he looked kind of like, you know, a little bony guy. And the power of God came upon him, and Delilah's going, Samson, tell me what's the secret of your great power. Tell me, and she's petting his hair, and maybe his head's on her lap, and he's, you know, well, and he goes through that whole litany of stupid things he says to her. And then she says, as he's sleeping, Samson, wake up, the Philistines are upon you. And you can read, listen to this, Judges 16:20. And so Delilah said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, quote, I will go out as before, as other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He wasted his life. And he jumps up and his power is gone. Why? Because he had disqualified his life. Did he still believe in God? Yes, of course. Did Paul still believe in God when he was concerned about being disqualified? Yes, of course. We talked last week how Moses believed in God. He's in heaven, Moses. David's in heaven. Samson's going to be in heaven. But to disqualify, remember, dear Moses never made it in. The Bible tells us, I want to encourage you, deciding to not waste your life. Write these verses down. They're very encouraging. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore Paul said, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that good news? Jude 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's encouraging. Colossians 1:21. Listen to this. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, that is his offering, sacrifice, through death to present you holy in his presence. without blemish and free from accusation. Wow. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which Paul says, I have become a servant. What an encouraging word. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28, 29, Jesus said this, you are in my hands, you're in my Father's hands, and no one is able to snatch you out of our hands. That's encouraging. What you want to do is make sure that when you're running with your eyes wide open, that you're deciding right here at church, right now, from this moment on, I will not waste my life anymore. I will make that a priority of my life. Point number two today is this, jot it down, verses 7 to 11 is this, run with your heart fully engaged. This is the big deal, in my opinion. This is amazing. Look at verse 7, and do not become idolaters as some of them. For as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. They didn't play volleyball. It was adult stuff. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them fell. The Bible tells us by the time the plague was over, the judgment of God, it was a grand total of 24,000 people died from their sexual immorality that God said, don't do this. They rose up to play. Remember, they had the cloud of glory protecting them from the heat. They had the pillar of fire by night protecting them from their enemies. They had manna feeding them that had been deposited by God from heaven. They had water coming out of rocks when they were thirsty. They had Moses hearing from God, and they said, wow, when God talks to you, can you talk to him somewhere else? That's scary. They knew that. They heard that. They said, we don't want to hear that. That's freaking us out. They saw all that and they still did not put faith in him. They had all these things. Church, mark this down. We need to learn this. Keeping your heart in the journey is the great challenge for us today. They went, listen, 11 days journey from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea. That would have been an 11-day journey. It took them 40 years and they still didn't make it in. Because of unbelief. The biggest challenge for us today as Christians is keeping your heart in the journey. Church, this is serious stuff. Because constantly there's things knocking on your attention meter to pull you away, to get you distracted. We live in a horrible age. Have you noticed young people today? They can't stay focused on anything for like 10 seconds. Constantly being pulled away. You know what? I don't know if it'd be such a bad idea if we lost our ability to have electrical power. What would we do? Don't make me read a book. Not a book. Could you imagine? We're so distracted and pulled. What does that matter? It matters this. It causes your heart to get off target, to get off point, to get off mission, to get off the journey. Your heart can be so easily weighed down with things. This is my identity. These kinds of hotels, those kinds of cars, this kind of clothes. Are those things sinful? No. Do we make them sinful? Yes. Why? Because our hearts. We don't keep our heart in the journey. The things of heaven no longer concern us. But they should. And God warns us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary at doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Listen, Christian, you need to circle around your heart in your life things that promote faith. Endurance, you know, keeping our heart in the journey. Jesus said in the last days, is this not true? In Mark 13, 13, Jesus says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, technically, he spoke that to not only his believers, but regarding even his own people, the Jewish people in the last days. Well, number one, anti-Semitism is growing in the world, and it's demonic. But listen, are you listening? Yeah. Parallel to anti-Semitism, which is demonic, is anti-Christian attitude, which is demonic. Listen, I told you before, when I became a Christian in the 70s in Orange County, it was so cool to be a Christian. Everybody was a Christian. Now, you go out here and you stand on the street and say, "Praise God, I'm a Christian." And you better wear a helmet. It's a remarkable time. And Jesus said in the last days, people are going to hate you for knowing him. And people are going to hate the Jewish people because God loves them. I'm telling you, it's demonic. It's a spirit. You've got to keep your heart in this journey. Last Wednesday night, hey, were you here last Wednesday night? I'm really curious to see. Raise your hand if you were here Wednesday night. Don't lie now. You're in church. The place was packed. I don't know where people came from. I'm not kidding. I'm about a 200 people pastor church myself personally. I did everything I could to keep this thing from growing. Lisa knows. Those of you who are with us, you guys, you know. I tried to offend everybody I possibly could to have this thing not grow. And last Wednesday night, the place was just packed out. And I don't know how many people came forward, and it was just a precious time. It was neat to see people come forward, and they got on their knees, man. Some people were just flat out in front of Jesus, and it was a very cool time. And I had made it a point to stress to them, today's your first step in following Jesus. You don't become a Christian by saying, "Hey, that sounds cool. I'll do that. Yeah, sign me up." You don't do that. Becoming a Christian is your first step to following the Messiah of the universe, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah Jesus Christ, the promised one of Israel and the Messiah of the world. You don't do that once. Now hear me out, please. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean you do that every week. You know, "Pastor, I need to come forward again." No, you don't. You meet him once, you follow him forever. Okay? Big difference, okay? You meet him, and now that you're with him, you follow him. This is the first step of a journey. And Christian, every one of us are somewhere en route on that journey, and it's vital you understand that I need to keep my heart close to God. Doesn't the scripture say that we're to keep ourselves in the love of God? Notice, wait, it doesn't say keep yourself in love with God. It says keep yourself in the love of God. How cool is that? The love of God is being poured out. Boom. It's like coming down. And if you're standing away from it, you're going, "Man, I'd like to have some of that." Then get in it, man. Get over to it. Step into it. It's there. It's flowing. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." How awesome. Job in the Old Testament says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." He says, "I'm going to see God someday in my flesh." Job said that. David talked about knowing about the resurrection power that would come through the Messiah. Isaiah spoke about that in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9. Solomon spoke about that in Proverbs 30. It's awesome. Keep your eyes on him. And look, quickly, you need one another. I know you hate this. You hate this. See, when we were a church of just 200 people, we were about 200 people for about 3 months. And what happened was people know each other. I think this. I don't think you should leave this building today until there's about 50 people right there. You guys should get one another's phone number. You say, "Oh, man, I hate that guy." You don't like that, huh? We don't like that. The Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling together. He says, be careful. Hebrews 10:25 says, be careful, because in the last days, people are going to isolate themselves from one another. Just go to church. Just don't talk to me. Sit down. Praise the Lord. No, you can't do that. How can you love one another by doing that? You can't do that. You can't do that. That breeds apathy. It's dangerous because you're being indoctrinated, taught regarding the love of Christ, but you're not doing it. No, we need to know one another. Get one another's phone numbers, get to know one another. Everybody gets all tense with that now. Oh, gosh. So listen, today, leaving the sanctuary, somebody, you didn't get, hey, excuse me, I didn't get your number. I didn't get your number. Go after them. Get their name. You see, Pastor, I'm not coming back next week. We only want 200 people. Lisa, I can tell, Lisa's going to say, you shouldn't have said that. No, you're all loved and you're all welcome. Just know one another, will you? That's biblical. Okay? Next thing is this, guard. Look at verses 9 to 10. Guarding your heart against compromise. He says, nor let us tempt Christ. Isn't this amazing? Paul is telling the church at Corinth. A Jewish convert to Christ is telling Greek converts to Christ that the children of Israel in the wilderness tempted Christ. They knew this in the Old Testament, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. The book of Numbers tells us about this. And they complained. He says, don't complain. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Yikes. You know who the destroyer is? This is horrific. Satan. Did you know that? Abaddon, Apollyon, Diablos, Satan. The Bible says he's actually real. He's a real person. He's a fallen angel, the fallen angel. And the Bible says that in their sin, remember Moses would say, God, don't judge them now, because then Pharaoh will say that you led him out into the wilderness and you couldn't sustain them. Moses would say that on Monday, because God would say, Moses, get out of the way. These people are rebellious. I'm going to kill them all. Moses would say, God, don't. And this is amazing, by the way. Jesus Christ is known as our intercessor. Moses said, God will raise up to you, Israel, a prophet like me, but him you will obey. That's a reference to Christ. Listen, can you think of a greater leader that God has ever brought or shall bring than Moses? Only one.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 15 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The title of this study, Run Christian Run, meaning that we as believers are to run away from our old way of living and run toward our new life found in Jesus. Run Christian Run. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, today is Friday. We've got the Ask Pastor Jack segment, and I've got one really good one for you today. Can I throw it at you?
Absolutely.
All right, here it is. Ray says, my question today involves pride. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening to this, Pastor Jack is getting this question just right off the cuff, so here it goes.
It's true.
My question today involves pride. According to the Bible, God is very much against pride. Now, don't get me wrong, he says, I'm not boastful, I don't put others down, I'm just very proud of my faith. Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess it's okay. I don't know what proud of your faith means. Are you saying, Ray, that proud meaning you're so happy and glad and thankful that you're a Christian and that you know the truth, as Jesus said, the truth has, in fact, set you free? Well, if that's your definition, then I'm right with you, brother. I don't think you mean this, but if you're proud to be a Christian and you go around bashing people with your Christianity and, you know, my religion's better than your religion, which it is, but yeah. You don't want to, you don't want to exploit that or beat people up with that. And I don't think, Ray, that's what I'm getting from your question. It is an awesome thing. It is a humbling thing. It is a glorious thing. And quite frankly, it is a comforting thing, a confident thing, which may be why you use the word pride. How about this, Ray? It is a confident thing to know that you know the truth, which has in fact set you free, and that you walk around this world with a biblical worldview that is absolutely liberating, and you just wish that everyone else had what you have. And I can so relate to that.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.